Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you're here. And today I am extra excited because I got to talk with Marissa Weaver, who is one of our registered dietitians on the Fine Food Freedom team. And I love when I get to have a guest on because then I don't have to stare at myself in the computer screen and I get to have a real life conversation. So we have done so many of these episodes now where we are introducing our team members, our providers here at Fine Food Freedom. And today you're going to get to know all about Marissa. And Marissa has one of the coolest things to share with our listeners. I was not going to drop it, but I'm going to because it's so freaking cool. This past year, her and her husband, for a little over a year, about 13 months, traveled all over Europe, and I love asking her about it. And specifically today we talk about like travel and food and culture and how integrated that is. And I know that that's something for me, like when I was entrenched in diet culture, vacations used to spiral me. Like I would be like, I have to be good. I have to lose weight before the vacation. Oh my gosh, I would do the craziest like fad diets before vacations, and then on vacation I would binge and I would feel out of control, and it was like just this whole thing. So when I think about now living a life of food freedom and how much I love travel, I'm actually traveling tomorrow with my toddler. We're going on a little mommy-daughter weekend, and it's like knowing how much I look forward to food, it's like one of the best parts about traveling and how I used to literally not want to travel because of my relationship with food. So, sorry, I just went on a complete tangent there, but I loved asking Marissa all about her travel, how food was over there for that, to be in Europe for that long. And so if you're someone who maybe you have upcoming travel with the holidays, maybe you travel a lot for work, maybe you travel a lot for pleasure, and food stresses you out and body image stresses you out, this is a great episode to hone in on. And if you want to work with Marissa or any of the Fine Food Freedom providers, you can click the link in the show notes below. You can check your health insurance benefits, and I so invite you to do it if you haven't already, because the majority of people have no idea that they have these one-on-one sessions completely free, completely covered. We're licensed in 26 states. We take the big insurance companies, Aetna, Cigna, BCBS, United, Anthem, and 100 plus plans. So check those insurance benefits. And if for any reason you do not have coverage, we will gift you 1 month of the Fine Food Freedom membership completely free. That includes 3 live calls. So either you have free one-on-one support or you have a free month of support with 3 group calls. So there's no bad situation here. I do not want finances to be the reason that you can't get the support that you want and need. Nutrition and health is so individualized. It's so nuanced. So the more personalized help you can get, the better. So please enjoy today's episode with Marissa Weaver. All right, Marissa. So I want to start. It's like my gold standard question, I feel like, for all dietitians. Is did you always know that you wanted to be a dietitian, or how did you get to where you are today being an intuitive eating, weight inclusive dietitian?
Yeah, I didn't always know. I started off in college as an ag business major, thinking that like running a winery one day would just be like the ultimate life, but then got a mandatory poultry management class like put on my lap for a semester that just like scared the shit out of me, and I was like, nope, gotta do something else. So yeah, switched into nutrition. really because when I was growing up, I did have a lot of food allergies. And then I was also diagnosed with celiacs at 15 and had a dietitian like help and support me through that when that was like a pretty scary time. So yeah, I just thought that that would be a good fit and kind of switched into that.
That's, first of all, thank you for sharing. Incredible. I had no idea that you had celiac. So thank you for sharing that. Because I know that is definitely something that 20, 30 years ago, if somebody was diagnosed with celiac, it was like, what is gluten? What is gluten free? How do I do this? How do I navigate this?
Yes. My Italian grandparents like were in denial. Like they fed me pasta and bread every day after school. And so they were like, no, this cannot be true. So that was a bit rough. But yeah, even back then I had to like go and get gluten-free bread via the pharmacy as well. Like it wasn't in the stores, which was like so interesting. And yeah, so while like the gluten-free fad dieting can be definitely annoying at times, like it's been nice for people with celiac just because there is so much more products and like awareness around it. So double-edged sword there for sure.
Totally. And I would love to go off of that and kind of ask you. So for anybody listening, if they have a medical condition or whether it is celiac where they can't eat gluten or maybe it's an allergy, right, where they can't eat a certain food, do you have any tips or like how did you navigate that where it's like, okay, we have to restrict certain things for our health, right? For our well-being, for our guts, right? Like, and for our microbiome and all these things, and obviously to alleviate these negative symptoms that it can cause. So how did you navigate having to restrict something but not tying it to morality? And just how has celiac really affected your relationship with food over the years, and how have you seen it change?
At first, I mean, it was really annoying, right? Like, especially being diagnosed as a teenager, I didn't want to be different than anybody else. Like, I didn't want to have to tell people, like, if I was going to their party, like, I didn't want to have to ask, right? And so there was a bit of, like, that embarrassment, I think, at first. But then I think, right, it just came down to, like, my body. It's very clear when I eat something with gluten, what happens to my body. So it's hard to ignore, right? And I've always like been very, I think, like in tune and led by that a lot, right? With my food allergies, with kind of like sensitive GI growing up. And then also with that celiac diagnosis, that it just really came from a place of like, look, I have like autonomy to eat whatever I want, right? But like, I don't want to feel unwell. Like, I don't want to feel sick. I like when I do, like I am missing out on social gatherings, right? Like my mood is bad because like I'm right, like in the restroom and like, it's just uncomfortable, right? So it just kind of came from a place of like, I don't have to, it's like, this is where my body is at and I know what I need and I want to like honor that. So that way, like food doesn't have to be this like big thing in my life. Like it can be something that I use just to like live my life and be able to do the things that I truly love. So yeah, it kind of shifted in that way over time.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's so important for people to hear because I know we have a lot of people that come to our practice that have gotten some type of medical diagnosis and they're like, can I be an intuitive eater if I'm not allowed to eat XYZ or if, you know, I have this, whether it's celiac disease or even if it's like diabetes or things like that, of how it affects their food choices. So I think that's
totally
beautifully said and bringing it back to like how to, if the goal and the mission is to feel pleasant from our eating experiences, really centering that. So I would love to hear your progression as a dietitian, because something I want to share with our listeners that I loved that I learned about you is that you were a NICU dietitian. And I unfortunately learned this when my daughter was in the NICU, but you had sent me the sweetest message and you're like, hey, I'm a NICU dietitian if you need anything. And I unfortunately joined that club. Nobody wants to be in the NICU mom club, but it is a great community once you're in it. And the people that work in the NICU are incredible. So I would love for you to share just kind of your progression as a dietitian, because obviously today you are doing something very different with Fine Food Freedom. But what were some of the jobs you had and how did it lead you here to what you're doing?
Yeah. So right out of my dietetic internship and passing the RD exam, I got a job with someone I made a connection with at one of the hospitals I interned at. And I was a food service kind of dietitian, a lot of management aspects, which were pretty tough. I can be, you know, I would just want to be like everybody's like buddy. And so it's hard to be like, oh, you have to do things this way, all of that. Right. So eventually got out of that and switched into a clinical role at that same hospital. And yeah, that was interesting, but also wasn't really why I got into being a dietitian, right? Like it felt like people, you know, when they're in the hospital and like understandably so, like they're there because something happened to them, right? Like no one wants to be there and no one's really in a place where they're wanting to, right, like get counseling, right, in that way, right? Totally. It's already so overwhelming for them, right? They're usually in a lot of pain. It's disorienting for them. They're uncomfortable with like all these new people coming in and out, giving them like a million recommendations that it just felt like misaligned for me to come in and be like, hey, let's talk about like your nutrition, right? And like all of that. So yeah, I had been honest with my boss around that. And that's when like this NICU opportunity came up. We had just like opened this second hospital. And so, yeah, that was kind of offered to me to kind of take that role and learn from that. And right at first I was nervous. I was like, this is such a right, like special and really fragile population. And yeah, but I just kind of dove in and I really loved learning about that side. And it was so technical and specific and like math and science forward as opposed to counseling, right? Which is going to be more on like that therapeutic side that just like kind of scratched that like math brain that I had growing up. And I liked the numbers of it. And yeah, it was also just like a really special place to be, right? Like so much, of course, like there is so much stress going on and like, but just seeing like everyone come together and yeah, it just really was a great environment. Like I really loved the doctors. I felt like they were there for like a really genuine and beautiful purpose. When I, in the past, have maybe had some bad experiences with doctors and I had, right, some negative reactions with that. So I love the doctors. The nurses are like absolutely amazing. And I think everyone is there, was there with just such this like pure focus to like help these new babies like grow. And yeah, so it was definitely a positive experience. And I only did it for about a year until I moved abroad over this past year. So it was kind of short lived, but it was definitely a really great experience.
Thank you for sharing that. I just think it's so incredible that there's dietitians in NICU after speaking with you. So I love to pick your brain about it. But like you said, short-lived, because then we had a conversation. That's when we got introduced. And you were like, hey, I would love to take this position. Is it okay that I'm going to be in Europe for the next year traveling around the world? Yeah, that sounds incredible. So for anybody listening, kind of just set us up what that year was. Like, where did it come from? How did you get to that point? How many countries did you go to? Let the people know about your European sabbatical.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were gone from June of 2024 through July of this year. So it was 13 months. And yeah, I think this was always something I wanted to do. Like I studied abroad in college. I come from an Italian family and like have been there a couple of times, right? And like traveling has just always been something I had like loved and like has made me feel alive, right? And so right after college and like getting into jobs, like we were just getting more and more rooted in American life, like with just so many responsibilities and house and all of that. And we just kept being in the back of our mind of like, we would love to do this, but like we can't, right? And one day I think after COVID, right, and just like being at home for multiple years and just like going through with all the hardships that came with that time, we were like, we gotta stop putting this off. Like we gotta just do it, right? And like we made a decision and just like put our head down and like planned it out for I think like 8 months and set it all up. Yeah. And so yeah, we left last June and like rented out our house and sold and donated like so much of our stuff. And yeah, just like lived out of a backpack and a suitcase for the 13 months. And it was me and my husband. We Ended up going to 23 countries in that time, which sounds like absolutely wild. And it was wild. Like, we moved around so freaking much. We were exhausted, but like, we were just so excited as well. And yeah, it was like definitely a trip of a lifetime. Of course, like, it was a whole year of our life. So we experienced every emotion, right? It felt like we had higher highs, but also some lower lows as well, just being away from like our comfort zone, from our culture, from like even being able to like communicate with others at times, and just everything in between. But yeah, I just got back like, what, 2-3 months ago now, and adjusting back and yeah, deciding kind of what's next for us.
So cool. I will never forget when you told me you were doing that. And I was like, this dietitian is so cool and so awesome. And I am very jealous because I'm just in a very different season right now. And so I loved vicariously living through you and seeing your pictures and all of that. And one thing I definitely want to talk about with travel specifically is food, right? Because it is probably arguably the best part about travel. Obviously, there's a lot of good that comes with travel. But so I know you shared a little bit in your own story that like when you were younger, you followed a lot of food rules. So I'd love to hear from you. Like, what was your experience like with food in all of these countries? And I can imagine it was so different in every culture you were immersed in. But like, what was it like to not have food rules and have food freedom and travel and experience that food?
Yeah, it was really cool. I feel like that was just the culture around food, not even like in one place, but it felt like in the majority of the places was just so different than what I'm used to here in the States. And like, not to like knock the States too much, but just like the slowness, the like pace of life, like the savoring and enjoying and like using food to connect and like show our love, like show love to other people. And like, just the pace of it was so refreshing. Like, it feels like a lot of places in Europe, like, their number one way of socializing is just like going and sitting at a cafe with their loved ones like for hours, right? And just like enjoying different courses or different drinks. And like, it's all very like connected to like this, I don't know, like the soul of it, right? And it was really nice to see that and like learning about different cultures, right? Even like coffee culture in Bosnia, for example, is like the people of Bosnia love to have coffee like every 2 hours and meet up with different people. And there's a whole like slow way of like making it at the table and like dipping pieces of like sugar with it at the same time. And just like all these like really interesting things that like just show, yeah, just like how it's more just like intertwined with like their life and like well-being. And like, there is not diet culture there. Like, I don't know. I didn't see it. I did not see it. Like, right. Like, there are no calories on menus. There are no like light options. Like, it's just like delicious food from like their culture and like passed down. And I don't know. I just think it just made me like realize even more that we've lost the plot on that, you know, I think in the States here sometimes.
Definitely. That is something I feel like I hear so much about European culture. Like what you were saying is that slowness, the intentionality, the connection, all of those words that you use, like it's so beautiful when you think about the clients we support and how food is looked at here. People are trying to restrict, deprive, not eat. Like it's just so starkly different. Yeah. Do you have any memories when you were younger, or maybe when you were following more of your food rules, of like traveling and food and what that was like for you, even if it may not have been abroad, but like a vacation or somewhere away from home that you were following these food rules and you had to travel, and what was that like for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I never really reflected on this, but when you're asking that, like, my food rules growing up came from like demonizing artificial colors and like highly processed foods. Like, we weren't allowed to have, right, like Fruit Loops or like anything with red dye, blue dye, those kind of things, right? It had to be all like very natural. But it almost felt like when we went on vacation, like that didn't apply. I don't really remember specifics of like having those same things applied. It was almost loosened around that. So I think I always like internalize that at home you have to be right more strict and watch what you're eating, but vacation is a time where you get to like truly enjoy that. And so yeah, I didn't really come too much into that, but yeah, I think just talking about food freedom while traveling, right? Like that's something I talk to clients a lot about. And of course, like with our culture, they come with questions like, well, how do I be good? Or how do I make sure I don't go overboard? Right. Or like all of this. Right. And I really try to like bring it back of like, what do you want from this vacation? Right. Like, what are you trying to feel? What would you like to experience? Right. And like, does restricting or counting or being meticulous about food match up with that desire, right? And like, just was really lovely, right? Like just another reason why like I could never see myself restricting or going on any of those diets ever again, right? Because like when you're out and about, like part of traveling and like experiencing the world is like through food as well. And so yeah, I just think it would be a shame, right, to try to like curb that or pull away from that for a reason. Whatever reason it might be, but
definitely. Yeah. Thank you for shining light on that. And it sounds like you said, you were able to still enjoy those vacations when you were younger. But like you said, the experiences that we hear with our clients often is that to be good, right? But then sometimes it creates, I always talk about that bow and arrow of like pulling that bow back, like be good, be good, be good, be good. And then they get on vacation, you let go and you feel out of control. And it's like, see, this is why I needed to be on a diet because I'm out of control and I feel unpleasant. And then it's the negative self-talk and it spirals. Yeah. So for people listening, if they have, you know, we have the holidays right around the corner. So there's definitely a lot of travel that some people might have, whether it's visiting family, whether it's vacations. I love how you said, I think that's like a huge takeaway of like, what do you want to feel and experience on this trip? Can we center that? Are there any other tangible things? I know it's going to be so nuanced and specific to each person, but thinking about travel and feeling pleasant physically, mentally, emotionally, like, are there any other tips that you go to with clients, that are trying to intuitively eat and travel?
Yeah, I think with really anybody, maybe just living the normal life, but especially on vacation, that I always just talk about like the basics of like, we need to make sure you're still like caring for yourself and like nourishing your body throughout the day, right? Like it's so easy that when we're traveling, like we get swept away in like activities and walking tours and this and that, right? And like we're with other people usually, and maybe there's not that comfortability of being like, hey, like I actually need something, like I'm going to stop in this cafe really quick, or like I'm going to hit this grocery store really quick, right? Because we kind of want to go with the flow and like we get so excited, right? And I think that situation, like we said, if there's that restriction, there probably will be that right counter of feeling then out of control, eating past pleasant fullness, right? And so I always just talk about like, it sounds boring, right? But like making sure that like we are still prioritizing meals, that we have snacks with us, right? That we are like being still in tune with our hunger cues, just to avoid that feeling, right? If we're already uncomfortable being outside of our normal food routine, like that is going to exacerbate it, right? If we're feeling like now we're super shaky and all we can think about food and we can't even enjoy what we're seeing in front of us, right? And then like when we do eat, we're feeling out of control, right? And like that whole dynamic. So I think that's, yeah, kind of a simple but really important tool there.
I love that. And I love how you said, you're like, it might feel boring, but you just need to eat consistently and snack. And that's so true. And I'm sure you've had this experience with clients too, that like if they travel a lot for work or for pleasure or whatever, where it's like, they had that light bulb moment of like, I packed non-perishable snacks this time and didn't let myself get extremely hungry. And it was a game changer. And it's like, yes, you did it.
Yes,
and exactly. It really is those simple things of like that consistent nourishment, hydration. And then I love how your first instinct though was talking about what do you want to feel and experience, because restriction and dieting and chasing intentional weight loss just takes us out of the present moment, and travel and holidays and all of these things, we want to be present, right? We want to be enjoying, and dieting does not align with that. So I love how you you brought that in as well.
Totally. Yeah.
So for those who are listening, we are in the show notes below. There is a link that people can meet with you one-on-one using their insurance benefits, which we'll make sure that link is there. But I would love to give you this moment of like, who is your ideal client or who are the clients that you're usually working with in a one-on-one counseling setting?
I think I support quite a wide variety, right? But I think I connect with women the most, right? And also, like, I personally grew up in a home where my mother, right, was constantly criticizing her body, was criticizing certain foods, right? And I also grew up in a dance and cheerleading background too, where there was quite a lot of focus on size and shape and not gaining weight and like all of these things, right? So I always love to connect with other women that have had similar experiences because I truly can understand and relate. But I think just anyone really wanting to leave like restriction behind. And I think I can be just a really compassionate and like friendly voice to be able to support you through that. And would love to work with you.
I love it. So speaking of your wide variety, I wanted to pull out, if it's okay with you, you had sent through not long ago a client win. And I like to, on all of our episodes, I like to do like a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. And I was like, well, this is perfect because I have Marissa here with me. So you had mentioned that a client told you that you were the first healthcare professional that she's ever worked with that acknowledged anti-fat bias and that she feels less triggered and more empowered going into doctor's appointments now. That is so beautiful. Everyone like in our group did like the heart, like crying eye emoji to that. But I would love just to go off of that for people who may be new to intuitive eating or weight inclusive care. I think that's such a beautiful thing that this counseling gives, is being that sounding board and helping our clients be their biggest advocates, and whether it's medical professionals or conversations with loved ones or anything like that. So when you work with clients, what are some of your favorite, like, you can either bounce off of that one, like, what are some of your favorite aha moments for clients, or like, what are some of your favorite things when you're counseling a client that you see happen while you're working with them?
Yeah, so many like things come to mind, because I think what I've realized over like these years of counseling is that it's not about like me projecting what like I believe onto other people. Like, I have really found that like I love to help bring out like their voice, right? Like their thoughts, their like beliefs, right? And like what truly works for them. And I think through that, like just having someone that like truly listens and like dives into like their experience and what they think and like what works for their life, like through that, I just think there's like this empowerment that happens. And and that comes from like recognizing the like privilege I have in my body, right? And like recognizing the anti-fat bias that happens, right? And I think like so many people just don't have a healthcare professional that gives them the space or has the time to like dive into it in that way, right? And so through that, like just so many amazing outcomes, right? Of just like women feeling, yeah, more empowered in their body, feeling like they no longer feel consumed by thoughts about food all day long. And now they have like the attention to like give to their babies, right? Or their relationships. Or they now are trying like a yoga studio for the very first time, and they've always felt ashamed to be exercising in public, right? And just like seeing them like come more into themselves and like live this like more authentic like life without shame, I think is just, yeah, I love that so much.
That is so beautiful. And I really feel like it's like finding the pleasure in life again, because once we're not obsessed with food and body, it's like, what do you like? What do you enjoy? What do you want to do? And oftentimes people are like, I have no idea, because I've spent so much of my life obsessed with food and shrinking my body that I don't know what I like or what I want to try or things like that. So it's such a rewarding experience to really be able to walk through that with clients. So as we end today, this does not have to be food or body image related, but it can be if you want it to. I love to ask people, like, is there a favorite quote, lyric, something that you've seen lately that's resonated with you that you've like mm-hmm. kind of clung to. Maybe it was just something you saw today, or maybe it's something this month or this year. I'm a big quote person. So I'd love to hear if there's anything that jumps out at you.
Yeah. The only one that comes to my mind right now is that like any positive change can't come from a place of hate. Right. Like, and I think that is like at the root of where I think diet culture comes in, right? Is like, we hate our body. We feel shameful about the way we eat. So therefore I have to make all these changes to like be better. Right. And so I think just like always bringing it back to like self-compassion, right. And like love and grace and all of that. And I think that's like really at the root of a lot of the work that we do, and something that, yeah, I think it's just really important. So it has to come from a place of like love and self-care to make a positive change.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or find.food.freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.